This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live from National Spring Training, as always brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bish Cakes, EB and JP, and joining us right now, the manager of your World Series champs, Davey Martinez.
There's Davey.
You know, we were talking about it during the break. Where does this one rank, right? Because you won one with the Cubs. I'm not sure. Did you win one as a player, too?
No.
Just as the Cubs, right?
Cubs,
you're the bench coach there. And then this one, you're in charge of the whole thing. I mean, I know each one's special. It's like comparing kids. But where does this one rank?
Yeah, I mean, they're all special. Get a chance to do something that you prepare for,
yeah,
you know, all year long. And then it comes through to fruidity. And but this one here is definitely one that's really touches this
right,
crazy heart.
Which one was harder?
Oh, hey, think about it. We started in 1931, so
yeah,
you know, this is pretty hard. But yeah, you know,
but the Cubs thing. I mean, the Cubs hadn't won
108 years. Yeah, I get it. You know, and it's a big deal. I mean,
yeah,
they're both really special to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we were talking to Eric Thames about it on the other side, how dicey that game was, the wild card game. I mean, when Josh Hader gets on the mound, I don't know what the, you know, like ESPN sometimes puts a game probability and it'll say 98%, 97%, and then it shifts. I mean, the percentages were on their side there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, that's a testament to what happened all year long, really, about these guys not quitting, you know, playing to the last out. That game was definitely that moment that, you know, and when that ball went by the right fielder,
Right
then and there, you know, I looked to myself, this is going to end up being something special, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And well, it was just an unbelievable run, and I've been talking about it today and even yesterday. I wonder, having gone through that, does it make you think, wow, that was really, like, almost impossible? All the things fell in our favor down the stretch? Or it's like, wow, we did that. We can do this again.
Yeah, you know, as I said on stage, and don't ask me how I said it, but, you know, what a beautiful place, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
right.
Definitely. But, you know, I come into spring training after, you know, everybody talking about the World Series hangover, you know. And for me, these guys, they're hungry. They still got that taste in their mouth.
Oh.
You know, I saw from day one when we met, you know, mm-hmm, in the circle for the first time, the pitchers, the catchers, they had all this energy. Like, and I said, well, this is going to be something special. You know, these guys are ready to go. They still got that taste. They feel it. They want to win. The core guys are all still here, so they're into it. You know, and the spring has been a lot of fun. We kind of been just laid back, just doing our work.
Seems
and getting
very
ready.
Laid back.
When Riz is looking at adding a piece in the offseason, does he, like, just say Castro? Does he come to you and say, hey, Davey, we're thinking about signing him. What do you think? Or is that all done by the front office?
No, we talk.
So you talk to
we
him.
We talk constantly, yeah, yeah, about, yeah, you know, and he wants to, on my side, wants to know if I feel like if these players fit. You
fit,
know?
Right, right.
I don't ever tell Riz what to do. I mean, he's been unbelievable over the years,
right,
of getting players we need. And rightfully so, this year he did the same thing. I mean, he put together an unbelievable roster that we feel like we can compete again.
As a fan, we were talking about this earlier. As a fan, the biggest question I have is Carter at third. All right, and obviously Rendon's MVP candidate, put up ridiculous numbers. Whoever is going to replace him there, I know Carter has been a shortstop predominantly in his career, but replacing Rendon is the biggest question mark for me. So make the Nats fans feel comfortable about what your plan is.
Yeah, hey, you know, I said this earlier in this winter. You know, Carter Kieboom comes in to spring training having a third base job. He's going to, you know, he's got to earn it, but it's his job. And I truly believe that. I mean, this kid's special. He put up really good numbers in the minor leagues. He is learning a new position. He's been working diligently every morning with Tim Bogart and Chip Hale on learning how to play the position. He's going to hit. He's going to, you know, his feet work. So it's just a matter of just getting him out there and getting his reps. You know, with that being said, somewhere along the line, whether it's, you know, breaking camp or Carter Kieboom will be our third baseman.
You think he's going to opening day third baseman?
As of right now, that's, you know,
it's his job to lose.
Exactly.
Right. What has been the difficult part of that transition at third? Has it been the fielding aspect of it? Has it been the throws, the angles, that sort of thing?
I think it's the angles. You know, his footwork. You know, setting, throwing. Right now, we're finding out. You know, that just him going left to right, making those throws across the diamond.
That's the issue.
That's the issue, yeah.
It's not the glove.
No, his glove is, you know,
straight,
yeah. He's good. I mean, like I said, it's something that he's learning, and every day he seems like, even in our drills that we do with him, he's getting a lot better. He's getting, you know, he's getting that fluidity that we look for.
I want to get to know Davey Martinez a little bit off the baseball thing. You're a baseball lifer. What happens after a game in June, home game? When do you eat dinner? When do you decompress? Like, what happens? Like, we see the TV side, right? You do your post-game press or whatever, and you get out of there. I always wonder, like, you're there at the park all day, basically. When are you having your dinner? What do you do when you get home? You're not turning on, like, MLB Network, are you?
Typically what I do, you know, I try to – after my post-game, I sit in my office. Usually I sit around with some of the coaches, and we go over what our plans are for the next day. What we saw during the game that, you know, we can improve on. Talk to, you know, Paul about the pitching and how the pitching is doing, how bullpen's doing. But it usually takes me a while before I unwind. You know, I'll go back home and I'll watch the replay of the games.
So you're getting home probably midnight, 12:30?
Probably around 12:30, 1 o'clock.
When have you eaten dinner?
I ate dinner, so after the post game they bring me a little plate of food. You know, and I'll just – I don't eat a whole lot. You know, I'll just kind of – munch away a little bit.
Right, and graze.
Yeah. And then by the time I fall asleep, it's usually 2:30.
3, yeah.
So, so 12:30 to 2:30, I just imagine you're sitting on a couch.
Oh, he said he's watching the game.
Okay,
I watched the replay of the game.
Yeah.
You fast forward through it?
Yeah, fast forward. I try to see what, you know.
Certain things,
yeah.
Here's my other question, all right? I have questions. All right, so we got Carter at third. You feel good there. Victor had a pretty good year last year, played the full season, first full season. 17 bombs, hit about 250, stole close to 30 stolen bases. What do you expect for him? What's that next step for Victor?
He's
an unbelievable defensive player, too.
I was just going to say, you know, for me, he was a Gold Glove last year.
Right.
But I think, you know, I think he's only going to get better. I really do. I think this kid, you know, he's kind of overshadowed a little bit by the other guy that we have.
Right, right.
But he did really well for us last year. So, you know, for me, I told him this year, hey, look, the only thing I really want you to work on is accepting your walks. You know, stay within the strike zone.
He struck out a little too much for you?
Yeah. I don't want you to.
Ooh, 140 last year.
I don't want you to get away from your aggressiveness, but get the ball in the strike zone. And because when you get on base, you know, if you walk.
He's trouble on base.
He's trouble.
Yeah, yeah. How many strikeouts did Juan have?
I don't know.
In comparison, I wonder.
Davey would know.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know.
Everybody talks about his plate discipline and everything, but I just wonder what the difference is.
Well, Victor had 140. So what do you want to see? That under 100?
I want to see it. Yeah, about 100. Well, if he can get it down under 100, man, I mean, we're going places.
So right. Juan last year had 132.
Oh, so he has a similar amount.
Yeah. But he had a 401 OBP.
More balls in play.
Forgive it with the rest of the picture.
Yeah. What about the rough start last year? So obviously that was injury related. No question about that.
Yeah.
Right. But also we felt like I remember saying, well, you know what? We don't think necessarily our pitchers were quite ready at the beginning of the year or that kind of thing. What have you adjusted to make sure on the things that you could control will be better to start?
Well, yeah, we actually this year we've done a lot more bullpen work already. The size that we added some more size. We had some more. We put them on a stringent throwing program. So they're all getting built up. You know, yesterday Huddy, was his first outing. He had 25 pitches. That's something that we want to do, especially with this three batter minimum, is make sure that they're built up to throw 30, 35 pitches from the get go. So I think we're in a good spot right now. You look at last year and you look at what transpired, what happened. We had a bunch of guys that we thought were going to be able to pitch in the back end of the bullpen that didn't work out. But that being said, we had to use a lot of our younger guys that never done it before and use them early, pitch in the back end of the bullpen. It's tough.
Yeah.
It was really tough.
Do you think there's going to be any funny business with the three batter minimum? I know that Max was kind of outspoken about that. He doesn't love the rule. He thinks, maybe some teams will
feign an injury or
something. An injury and that sort of thing.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't perceive it to going to be that way. But only time will tell.
How does it change your strength? Has it eliminated like a lefty reliever, the like specialist, the guy that can just get one batter? Is that Jesse Orozco, right?
Pitched till he was like 45.
Yeah, I mean, those guys now out of the equation.
Well, here's what happens. So you start the inning, and you put a guy in a spot where you think he's going to get through the inning.
Right.
So say he goes through that, three hitters, and then all of a sudden you got a lefty up there, and you got two outs. Mm-hmm. You could still bring a lefty in and face that guy, get out of the inning.
Because that's right.
And then start a new guy.
So that's the way you get around it. But let me ask you this, though. Let's just say last year, Rainey came in and struggled and walked the first two guys. You might take him out then. But now he's got – I know they want to speed up the game, but if he walks those two guys and instead of bringing in someone else, he faces the third guy and he gives up a double, that extends that inning.
Exactly. So what – The way that I'm thinking is what they're trying to do is create more offense.
Right, right.
And to me, that's what it sounds like, because all these things that are coming up that they're really trying to do is to create more offense. And I think that's what his three batter minimum is. It's not really trying to speed up the game.
You don't buy that.
Yeah, I don't. Nothing's really going to speed up the game unless they take away all the commercials.
Right.
And we play through.
That's not going away.
Then ain't going away.
You got to keep the commercials.
What I did suggest, though, was they put the commercials in the bottom or in the corner and let the game play.
Like the soccer game.
Well, they do that in golf, too. They have the playthrough.
Yeah, the playthrough, right.
Yeah.
If a situation, though, happens where you start off with somebody, let's say Hudson's pitching, and he's got to go his three batters. Let's say he gets into a little trouble, gets an out. There's only one out, and you want that lefty reliever, though, to come in against lefty. You're right, more offense, because now the lefty's going to have to face whoever's
two more guys.
Two more guys, right.
Unless he gets double play or gets out of the inning, right.
So, Riz and I looked at that all winter long. When we're looking for the guys in the back in the bullpen, Will Harris obviously is one of those guys we feel like left, right, doesn't matter. Huddy did a great job last year. You got Dew. Elias, to me, is a big key, and he's looked good.
I liked him before he got hurt. He was just like one or two outings for us. I was like, wow, this guy's going to be special. And then we never really saw it.
Yeah, and he's looked really good this camp, and I'm counting on him, to be able to be that guy, left hand, right hand, he can get both hitters out.
Who do you think is in control of the fifth starter spot right now? Is that too tough right now?
Oh, it's tough, yeah. I mean,
how did Joe pitch yesterday? He pitched yesterday, right?
Really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, really well. I think right now what I'm seeing out of Joe, he looks like he looked before his injury. So he looks really good. And Voth is Voth. He's done really well. Fetty's throwing the ball well. So
if Voth doesn't make the team as a starter, does he stay in the pen or does he go to the minors?
Well, we lose him.
Right? Oh, you lose
him? Yeah.
So he's got to make the team.
We got to figure something out.
Why?
Yeah.
Explain that.
So he has no options left.
So you'd have to cut him. He either makes it or you cut him.
Yeah.
Wow.
But how's he pitched?
Really well.
What about Ross? Same thing with Ross,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, same thing. So, I mean,
you're not either cut Joe Ross. There's no way you're doing that.
No.
And he's looked really well. He's developed he's thrown his curveball a lot more. His slider looks good. His changeup is good. So, I mean, he's becoming the pitcher that, I know that, over the years, when they got him, he did well.
He's had flashes. Yeah.
And
can both be a long relief guy?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got good stuff.
Yeah, what about Fetty? Does he have options? Or
yeah, Fetty has an option. So, you know, but, you know, like I said, I Fetty's done well. You know, there's still room. For me, there's still room, you know, in our bullpen right, as of right now.
Plus, you have an extra spot this year.
Right.
That really helps.
Is the regular season going to be kind of boring to you because you can't bring in, like, Strauss out of the bullpen? Corbin,
so
out of
great
the
for us. We love that. You did a brilliant job with that, by the way.
Thank you.
Did you, when did it dawn on you, this is how we're going to have to do this?
Honestly?
Yeah.
In the middle of August.
Right.
In the middle of August.
I started thinking about, you know.
This is what we're going to have to do.
You know, if this transpires, you know, we're going to have to do things a little bit differently.
And they delivered. That's the thing, is the guys, by and large, delivered.
I was going to say that because when Dusty was here, he pushed the right buttons. Well, he pushed the buttons he was supposed to. It just didn't work out.
Like guys, he brought Max in. It just didn't work.
Max didn't get guys out for a reason. You know, Weeders threw the ball the ball in the right field.
Right.
You pushed all the right buttons, and they came to play and they performed and they got guys out and they got big hits.
This was all based on conversation. You know, I can remember sitting in my office with Strauss and telling him, "Hey, look, you know, I'm going to ask you to do something that you might not be comfortable with." But it's up to you. You know, I want you to be honest with me. You know, you're going to have to come out of the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do it? And he looked at me. He goes, "Let's go for it. I'm ready." You know, no hesitation.
Have you seen the maturation of Steven? You've only been here a couple of years. Have you seen it, though?
Yeah, he's been incredible. I mean, even this spring, you know, he's been more outgoing, you know.
He's just blossomed.
What do you think that is?
Why?
It's like a different guy.
Just comfortable in his own skin?
I think, you know, I really believe that. You know, 2 years ago, he got hurt. He came back. His velo was down, everything. And he came to my office and said, he's going to shut it down in September. And, you know, I looked at him and said, "No, you're not."
Uh-huh.
I said, "Are you okay?" And he goes, "Yeah, I just, you know, the ball's not coming out." And I said, "Hey, this is your opportunity to go out there and pitch. Learn how to pitch. You know, use all your stuff. You know, like I watch this guy, and this guy's got incredible, incredible stuff."
James was talking about his changeup. Yeah. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah. And to his defense, he did that. Mm-hmm. You know, and he had a good September. And he said, "Hey," he took it upon himself all winter long. Said, "Hey, this is what I'm going to build on. Yeah. And now he's just. I mean, I saw him all year long, just get better and better and better. And then. Obviously,
Has that been reported? Did we know that? Do we know that he wanted to shut it down in September? And you said, "No, you're not doing that."
No, I mean, it's something that, you know, we talk about, you know, but you know, I didn't want him to do that. You know, I really wanted him to go out there and finish the season, you know, and go out there and just do what he can.
When you had that meeting, did you have the mood candle burning in your office like you have here?
Always.
I'm not a stalker, but I did notice. What's the scent on the candle? I need to know this.
This one is. Yo, we are in Florida, so it's like a Hawaiian cilantro.
Sweet.
Very nice.
All right, David, they're telling us you got to go. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
You are the man. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, David.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Davey Martinez, everybody. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live from National Spring Training. Thanks again to Davey Martinez for sitting down with us.
I love Davey, man.
Isn't he a nice guy?
Good dude.
Cool dude.
Drabby was giving us the break sign. He's got to go.
He would have talked for another half hour.
He was having a perfectly fine
baseball
time.
Guy.
Yeah, you ruined the interview.
Just always blame Rob.
Hey,
it's a good sound policy.
I've never met Barry's for Luke, and we have him on all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
He's standing over there. I'd like to talk to him.
You want to bring him in?
I mean,
have Drabby. You want to
go grab him? He can do like 9:45.
I mean, he's definitely doing a one-on-one with
Mike
Rizzo.
Or he can come now. He can come
now. Oh, he's talking to Rizzo. Oh, don't bother. Yeah, you should get him, though. Drabby.
They're just smoking and joking over there.
Yeah.
They're boys. I think they're boys.
I'm 98% sure that's Mike Rizzo. I don't have my glasses on, but that looks like Mike Rizzo.
That is Mike
here.
Rizzo.
Okay,
yes.
I need confirmation. Yes. That's all.
Oh, my God. You can't.
It's amazing.
I'm 98% right.
Yeah. It's amazing how big Strasburg's lower half is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, like his
thighs, his ass, his calves.
Yeah.
I mean, just a monster.
I've seen him back there. You bump into these guys when he's the – what is he called? What do you call those again? He's doing like shrugs, like walking around doing shrugs with these huge dumbbells.
Right.
I mean, yeah. Big dude.
Sure.
Just want to remind people, you can always use the rewind feature
with
the Radio.com app. It's fantastic. Earlier in the show, we had Eric Thames, who we all kind of man-crushed on. Really good dude. He's going to be playing first base for
like
the Nationals.
Him.
Patrick Corbin joined us, and, of course, Lars Eller from the Caps before we talked to Davey Martinez, the manager.
Hey, you know what? I don't think we got into Davey's pockets. I think that might be a first. Let's give ourselves a clap that we weren't
is that
obsessed
true?
With.
Yeah. Yeah, good.
I was thinking about bringing up the fact that he's on the last year of his deal, but I thought that might be uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's uncomfortable.
So I didn't.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't do that.
I just left that alone.
That is uncomfortable.
Yes.
I don't know what they're waiting for.
I don't know what they're waiting for either.
Oh, I see Aaron Barrett walking around. I didn't realize he was still with the organization. That's great.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a feel-good story sort of at the end of the season.
Man, these pitchers are just big dudes.
Right? They're just a different breed.
Yeah.
Most of them, though. Yeah. Max struck me as, you know,
Max,
fairly thin.
I just walked next to him in the hallway, and just he's lean.
Yeah, you know,
he's obviously
lean
muscular and ripped.
He's strong.
He's not built like Strasburg.
I mean, they're different guys.
Is a horse.
Yeah,
he's just a massive dude.
Right, right. Yeah, most of the guys are.
By the way, they've all signed this jersey for this kid. All,
it's very nice.
How many guests have we had? Seven?
Yeah.
All very cool. Eight.
Yeah.
All cool.
Yeah.
I was going to interrupt Juan Soto's walk to the clubhouse.
No, that's embarrassing. Make Drabby do that.
I was going to ask him, because this kid would love if Soto signed it.
Drab doesn't want to do that.
He's got enough.
Yeah, they're good.
Soto's going to Hall of Fame.
Yeah. All right. I mean,
yeah. You said the kid was going to wear the jersey to school.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know where he's going to wear it.
He's going to ruin it in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Isn't that pretty cool, though?
It is. Yeah. It's very nice.
Kid's like eight.
It's a very benevolent thing you're doing.
Yeah. I would never.
I know.
Do
I got
that.
The little thing there. Sorry about that.
It's fine. Don't worry.
Sorry about that, Mom.
you're more than made up for with eight signatures. You're good.
By the way, Trey signed the number. He's
right in the middle. Perfect. Yeah, that's what he should do.
Oh, there's Soto. I'm going to go.
Yeah, come on.
Go in the circle of trust.
Right.
And
what if I walked in the meeting with a Sharpie?
See how quickly you're escorted off the premises.
Right, exactly.
I would almost pay to see you do that.
It'd be a good bit.
You pulled your dong out at the breaker, so I don't put anything past you.
That's true.
Have people heard of the Breakers? People know the Breakers, right?
It's a famous property.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of the Breakers.
Yeah.
Were you aware of it?
I'd heard of it, but I wouldn't say, I know that's it. West Palm.
I'm cultured and well-traveled, so of course I had heard of it. Of course. How can you?
Well, you are traveling next month, right? Aren't you heading to Spain?
Yeah.
Takes them to España?
Unless the coronavirus, you know, prevents the trip. Yeah, within about 5 weeks.
A friend of mine had a trip scheduled for Peru, canceled. It was a school trip.
Because of Corona.
Luckily, I was smart, and even though I don't like to do this, I did buy flight insurance. Oh, it burns me to buy flight insurance,
but I did. It's not a bad purchase.
But I did.
How much was that? A couple $100?
I think for four flights, it was like $240.
It's worth it. Especially
when
to book flights like months in advance.
I feel like a sucker a lot of times when I buy insurance.
So everybody's heading over to España.
Yes, correct.
Oh, let me get in your pockets.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
Four flights.
Yeah.
I'm guessing roughly 5 Gs.
No, not quite that expensive. I think the four flights were around $2,800 to $3,000.
That's not bad.
Not at all. It got off easy. Yeah.
The Cakes Classic paid for it.
But when is that trip scheduled for?
April, right?
Spring break, like April 4th,
I think. About 6 weeks? I mean, we're going to be
about a month.
We'll be at full-blown Corona.
That's what I'm worried about.
Like pandemonium. Like everybody. Yeah.
Well, my wife and daughter are going to California on Friday for 4 days.
They'll be fine.
But doesn't California have some cases out there?
They have cases everywhere. They just haven't tested them yet.
So you're going to be solo, living the bachelor life for a few days?
Well, my younger daughter's still. She's in school.
Where in Cali, Ricky?
They're going to be in Hidden Hills, right near Malibu. They're staying at a friend's house.
Wow. Nice. Very nice. Now, this is just a trip for fun, or?
Yep, they're going to Ellen's show. Remember I told you they were going to Ellen's show?
Yeah, right.
They're going to hang out with some friend. Thomas C. Mooney's wife and his daughter, who goes to Georgia, also going.
Oh, they're going. Oh,
any idea of the guest lineup for the show that they're going to?
I don't. I think it's out, though. She usually puts it out, you know, a couple weeks.
I can't believe what an Ellen mark you are.
So much info on Ellen.
Dude, we watch it every day. I don't love it like I used to.
You kind of do.
Nah,
does
I really
she
don't.
Do the dancing bit still?
She doesn't do that.
She stopped?
What's the DJ's name? Like Twitch? The brother comes out. He does the dancing.
There's a brother named Twitch.
His name's Twitch. He's the DJ. He's like the sidekick.
Oh, okay.
He comes out and does his. He's a professional dancer, so he comes out and does all the goofy dances.
She stops.
She doesn't go up into the crowd anymore.
Why is she just too old for it now?
I
think she hurt her back. I think she had an injury.
I'm serious. You got injured dancing.
She's like 60.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, they're going to what? Wacky Jackie. I know you're 74.
Hey, 60 was pretty young in the poker room I was in yesterday.
Oh, I bet.
If you were 60, you were the lower end of the demographic.
I remember thinking 50 was so old.
The old lady who stole pots from me and Dave Richard, her name was Gloria. She was at least 75.
I can't believe
the dealer asked her how she was doing, and here was her exact response. She said, "I woke up, and I'm playing poker.
So I'm
it's
good.
A good day."
Right.
I thought that's a pretty good outlook. Pretty good attitude.
It's a pretty low bar.
That Gloria had.
It's a pretty low bar.
She stole pots from me. Okay. And from Dave Richard.
Okay,
salty.
Right. You missed it yesterday at lunch when I thought that Boomer Esiason was younger than Eric.
He thought it completely insulted us.
It was unbelievable. I said, Matt, do you understand he played in the 88 Super Bowl?
We were trying to project like when we're going to ultimately be retired
right.
You know, from our business, or we're going to get fired,
sure,
being too old.
He's 10 years older than us.
Yeah, and he goes,
maybe
he's
older.
He's minimum 10
JP
years
says,
older.
Well, listen, Cataldi's like 65, Francesa's 65, whatever. Yeah. Boomer Esiason, you know.
JP thinks we're going to work till we're 95.
Well, who knows? But Drabby goes, you guys are Boomer Esiason is older than you guys?
What a blind spot for Drabby.
And I like
10
Boomer.
Years older than
and
us.
I used to watch him play.
Yeah, he graduated college like in 83.
Him, yeah, you watch him play.
It was just a dumb millennial
early
statement.
Early 90s.
I know. I'm 37. Life is flying by.
Yeah, don't think you're young.
No.
You're not that young.
No, but we're all turning 50 this year. Eric's already turned 50. We're old. Freedom Dave said when he was driving by yesterday that we look like two Q-tips because Eric and I were in his convertible.
Yeah,
right. Just our gray hair.
I mean, I was
on top of a Q-tip.
I was a little upset at Drab for snapping the picture while we're driving, heading towards 95. But it was good content,
was,
Drab, so I'll give you a pass
content.
On that.
Now, I think he startled me because I was kind of snoozing. I didn't have sunglasses. I just had my eyes closed.
Yeah.
I believe it might be the first time I've ever been in a convertible.
Might be.
When would I have been in a convertible before?
Parade.
Huh?
Parade.
You've been in a convertible for a parade.
Well,
a capture parade.
I mean.
But like driving? Well, when I had the 335i hardtop convertible from BMW Fairfax, you never got in that?
No.
That's a nice vehicle. It's a nice vehicle. You might consider it.
Yep.
But I do feel like that the Mustang that I'm driving is fun. But I do feel like it's a chick car, especially when it's a ragtop convertible. I feel like if you have a hardtop convertible, it's a little bit more manly.
I'll add something to that. It's a white trash chick car.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
Freedom Dave loves white trash girls to drive Mustangs.
Maybe.
Probably has a soft spot for it.
See, I can tell. Thumbs up.
Right. But anyway.
Drabby, Barry's Verlugo's over there talking to fans. You might want to go over and pull him for the last segment.
No, we're going
to
go.
All right, good.
Unless we're going to do what did you have for lunch last night?
Oh,
dinner. What are you having for dinner tonight?
It's already been documented. You guys ate salmon that would cost $45.
I mean, I'm just going to bet on Jason every time.
Yeah, salmon. Salad with
salad
a nice
with
piece
salmon.
Of salmon.
Yeah.
it's so tasty.
I love it too, but I can't do two in one day. You know, I would do it almost.
Just remember, it's arugula salad that he loves.
Yeah, he loves the arugula.
Well, I like arugula better than like just regular romaine.
I'm telling you,
or Caesar,
or God forbid you eat iceberg.
Iceberg,
lettuce.
Yeah.
You can't have a salad with iceberg.
Arugula
like
actually,
a wedge is.
I like a little. A wedge is an iceberg.
Yeah.
Arugula
isn't
actually
that just
has
drowned in blue cheese dressing a wedge salad?
Not just that.
Yeah,
some
but
bacon
maybe a little
bits.
Balsamic or something in there. No, it's good.
I would punt that thing straight into the sun.
Oh, it's so good.
So
cakes.
Much blue cheese.
What did you have at old BK?
I had a Whopper Junior and onion rings.
A Junior?
Whopper Junior with cheese?
Zippy cheese.
Oh, that's right. You don't do
I'm
cheese.
I'm a hamburger guy, not a right. cheeseburger guy. Hamburger.
I love how Cakes tries to, like, kind of cut calories here. There she gets the Whopper Jr., and then he goes and downs, like, three Highlight beers in the room.
I did. I had three last night.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, I should drink the other four that I have.
He's
but
a Coke Zero guy. Like,
might
what's
be
the
gratuitous.
Point?
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
the point?
Like, you got to cut calories someplace.
You're saving space for the beer.
Ricky?
Yeah, right.
I think we got a break.
Yeah, we got a break?
Well, Matt's giving me the break sign.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, when Barry's did we ever here? Listen to him?
Yeah, I don't know. The first time.
Well, I do know that you should donate your car today to the Purple Heart Foundation. Donating is easy, hassle-free, and your donation tax-deductible. Last year, the Purple Heart Foundation provided assistance to over 18,000 of America's bravest veterans, helping them with VA benefits, coping with post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, and providing suicide prevention assistance. You can be the difference. Donate your car today. Visit DonatePurpleHeart.org. That's DonatePurpleHeart.org. Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live from National Spring Training. And joining us right now is Barry Zwerluga from the Washington Post.
Yeah, man.
Happy
What's
to
up,
be here.
Barry?
Good to see you guys.
How long have you been down?
I got down Thursday. I'm flying back tonight.
Tonight,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, a little less than a week.
Yeah.
So what is sort of your vibe? It's been low-key, a little drama, all the dramas on the other side of the
For
building
sure.
over there?
I mean, the contrast is incredibly stark. And the first night I was here, they played the Astros, and Springer's getting booed. And
right.
those guys are wearing it, and they're going to wear it. And this, you know, these guys won the World Series, and they're incredibly under the radar, which if you ask anybody in there, they're like, that's awesome.
That's perfect. Great for them.
We can look at the trophy, and we can – talk about the memories and move on pretty genuinely. It's
have you gone super... over to Houston? Have you interviewed any of those guys?
I haven't been over there. I mean, we had obviously when they reported, and we had I think four or five people here. So I kind of feel irresponsible not going over there, but also like those guys are tired of talking about it. You know what I mean?
Last thing I want to talk about.
So it's
they're going to be ornery.
They're probably wound super tight. Do you think they're doing a dunk tank like the Nats
exactly.
are doing here to our left?
Well, I mean, the one thing I would say is that if you're going to pick a person for that situation, an unprecedented situation, like
right.
Dusty will take your eye off the ball pretty easily. Like, hey, here's a yarn from 1965. Like,
right.
I came up with Hank Aaron was in the lineup. You know, like,
right.
so there. That's an awesome call for them and does give it a different vibe. But it's pretty clear that fans are not going to let go of this thing,
no.
And nor should they. So,
or the guys.
I yeah.
mean, you know, the guys are pissed, too.
Well, you get – I mean, when is the last time Mike Trout said anything interesting?
Right.
Yeah. I think this is the first time, right? So there's still an underlying current, and maybe it's not even underlying. There's a current of bitterness.
No,
and I mean, it keeps coming up, but think about – I've said it all winter. If Howie doesn't clank that ball off the pole – and Greinke in the bullpen, and Garrett Cole walks in, and they win that game 2-1. And Houston has won 2 out of 3 World Series, and then the story comes out. Baseball's even worse off than it is right now.
But then you would have had 3 consecutive World Series champions.
Cheaters. Yeah,
right.
Crazy.
Under
so
that umbrella.
And I love that. I mean, we've done some reporting. You guys have talked about this. I love how prepared the Nats were to combat that, and whether it was actually happening or not in the 2019 postseason, they took a lot of measures to clear their pitchers' brains of that anything illegal was going on. And I think that was they won all 4 games in Houston. I think their preparation
That's
was
crazy.
A part of it. Yeah.
So is the biggest question for you about this team, third base?
Yeah, I think it's third base and run production because of Rendon's loss. So I was looking at it yesterday, actually. They scored 873 runs last year. That's more than any Nats team ever.
And
part of that is because in that 3-4, you could, you know, Davey could write in Rendon and Soto and not think about much. And honestly, when Trey was healthy, it was every game of the postseason was Turner, Eaton, Rendon, Soto. That's hard to navigate. And while I think you can fill out a lineup, and the lineup is fairly deep, if Victor Robles takes a step forward, you've got a bottom-of-the-lineup piece that's...
He's
that's,
a critical piece.
Yeah, it's super productive. But he's not a three-hitter. And I think what you're going to see most often is Starlin Castro in the three-hole. He might have figured something out in the second half of last year, and we can talk about launch angle, and his numbers were really good. He's a 10-year veteran that is not Anthony Rendon, and so they are going to score fewer runs. It's just I can't see how they wouldn't score fewer runs. The flip side is this bullpen shouldn't be
a liability.
If it's a league – that's absolutely right. If it's a league-average bullpen, you're giving up 100 fewer runs out of that bullpen, and also in April and May, you're not just – yeah, it's crazy. I mean, that's just to get to league average. So there's a way you can do the math and say, all right, they're not going to be as good offensively. We know that. But you can – kind of even the ledger out if you give up 100 fewer runs out of your bullpen. And because they have Hudson, Harris, and Doolittle, the workload shouldn't be what it was on those guys last year.
Cakes and I like to do season win total bets, right?
We do.
We were just talking, yeah.
On my site, the Nats are at 90.5. Now, the Braves are also at 90.5.
I thought it was 89.5. No?
That's Cakes' site.
That was a different site.
Okay.
You know, let's just call it 89.5. I tend to think it might be under that. That's just me. I don't know how you feel.
So I think it's a great number. I think that's the number. Like if it, you know, it's funny. Like if it was 90.5, I'd go, okay, I'm comfortable under. If it was 88.5, I'd probably go, oh, I might like over
because you like that 89-90.
It's right
that's
in
your
there.
Wheelhouse.
And which is so funny because you know it's 162 games and one of them flips. Like what are we talking about? But they won 93 games last year after that 19-31 start, which is incredible.
Right.
They won't have the start, but they also won't play that way for 4 months, basically.
Correct.
So I think that's about right. I think also you look at the division, and I've been trying to talk around here. I don't think the division got markedly better. I was not a proponent of signing Josh Donaldson here. I think that back end of that deal was going to bite you at some point. So I think even though we're talking about third base being a problem, I didn't like 4 years for Donaldson, but he was a big part of Atlanta's offense that they didn't replace from outside. Dallas Keuchel leaves Atlanta. They're replacing him with Cole Hamels. Cole Hamels hasn't even showed up to camp. So I don't know that the Braves are markedly better.
Right.
Whose phone is that?
It's Barry's not mine. Phone. I have a question for you. Who's going to be the opening day starter?
Max Scherzer.
100%. They've already said that?
Oh, yeah. Well, you count backwards, and in the way they're pitching now – Max is pitching today. Strasburg's turn would be tomorrow. I mean, you can predict this stuff out, and I still.
So we already know.
Yeah, we know.
Is that the right call?
Yeah, I think that the way that just the structure of the clubhouse, Max is still the alpha male.
He's the leader,
and Steven is still the 1A. Now, performance wise, and I thought this in the playoffs. I thought by the time they were playing the wild card game, that Strasburg's performance had passed Max. If you ask around, people still thought, one, if you tell Max Scherzer you're not starting game one or you're not starting the wild card game, you're going to have a problem.
Yeah.
And two, there's some thought that that Stras still, his comfort zone is just
being under
right
the radar?
Behind Max. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. But I would also say this, there's probably been a million years when we said like, well, Steven Strasburg's a different guy this year, you know, kind of being more outgoing. He's a different,
it's true.
He's
doing
like,
interviews.
I sat down with him for 40 minutes the other day. That is a sentence I never expected to say.
He's 4 minutes, 2 or 3 years ago would have been tough.
He told us a few years ago, I don't talk the day before the day before the day before a start.
That's perfect.
It was
right,
unbelievable.
Right, exactly. So he's, whatever it is, you know, he's got the hardware of the World Series MVP. He's all the accomplishments. He has come through in big moments. Whatever has freed him up, and it might just be the fact that he's going to be a National for his whole career.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a palpable thing.
You know what Davey said, and I don't know if this has been reported. Maybe it has. But he said that Steven came to him after he got hurt a couple years ago, and he said, you know what? I'm going to shut it down in September. My velo's down. I don't feel right. And he said, no, you're not.
Davey said no. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to do that. You're going to pitch through this, and you're going to learn how to pitch. And
interesting.
Work at this. And he did, and he said he thought – he did well, and he said, I'm going to build on this. And his whole offseason thing was, I'm going to be more of a pitcher, not worry about my velo as much. And that's where he thinks the turning point was.
Yeah, I can see
that's
that. I didn't know it was framed as Steven, no, you're going to you're going to pitch through this. I know that Davey has – so this was Davey's first year as a manager.
Right.
He felt like – I mean, just repeating what you said, when he came back from the injury, he did have to pitch.
Yeah.
And now he pitches. I mean, it's fun. You know, we all get attracted to, oh, wow, it's triple digits on the radar gun. That's not who he is, but that's not who he has to be. And I also think, you know, if you look at his postseason numbers now,
he's nuts.
A stud. I mean, he's if you go back to that Cubs start in the rain when he was scratched, like his whole legacy could have been blown to smithereens that day, and he flipped it that day, and he's just gone with it since.
I looked at it today. In like 37 innings, he's got 47 Ks and like 6 walks.
Exactly.
I mean, it's stupid.
Exactly. And you know, even in his Game 6 start, you know, he fixed the tipping thing and then was lights out the rest of the way.
It didn't rattle him.
No, at all. In fact, like, so he's just got this calmness about him now. He's both accomplished in the past, but he has a lot to look forward to in the future.
Barry, we got to run, bro. Thanks for the time.
Don't
thanks,
leave. Guys. I want to talk to you after the break. Don't leave.
Yeah. Safe travels, Barry.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, thanks to all the guys, too.
Yeah, we are wrapping things up. Jack.
Wacky Jackie.
Does a fantastic job. Greg and Jerry.
Yep.
Greg and Jerry.
Moving this so that we can stay out of the sun.
People have no idea
for the last 4 hours
how hard those guys have been working behind the scenes to try to get the best images for the NBC Sports Washington.
Yep.
So thank you, Greg. Thank
and
you.
All despite, Greg he got was a T-shirt out of it.
And despite all the complaining, we thank Van Meter Homes,
yes.
most of all, for sending us here.
Of course, those are my boys.
Join the family and go to vanmeterhomes.com today and let their family build a home for yours. Of course, Jason lives in the Larry, right?
Yes.
I do.
Fitzgerald.
I live in the Larry.
Yes.
Have for 14 years.
Yep.
And maybe another one coming up soon.
Thank you to Van Meter Homes. Grant Danny up next right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.